A very good morning to you again. 12 minutes past 10. It's the second hour of the 9 till noon show. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for staying with us if you've been with us since the start of the programme. Okay, let us mention the quiz now. It's our last one for all 100 euro voucher, which we're giving away in association with our friends at Virgin Media. Just to let you know that Virgin Media broadband is now available in Donegal with full fibre broadband. So everyone can enjoy ultra-fast speeds of up to 2 gig with 99% reliability. You can check out virginmedia.ie to see if you can avail of the new 2 gig full fibre broadband speed. Virgin Media, it is playtime. So how do you play? You get in contact with us via text or WhatsApp, 086 60 25000. Tell us your name and where you're from, and then you're invited to come on air and answer a simple question. And the only really thing you have to try and do is answer it a little bit quicker than the other person. That's if you get the correct answer, but the questions are really pretty easy, right? And even if you don't win the 100 euro one for all voucher, we'll have a chat, a bit of crack, and also you will get a mug. It's a booby prize, but I'll tell you, not many people have them. They will be on the Antiques Roadshow in the years to come. I can just imagine, do you know that show, what's it called, where they fix things? Oh, it's a great show on the BBC. You know, you bring your antiques in and they restore them. The Repair Shop. I can just see someone now in about 80 years going into the Repair Shop with a 9 till noon show mug with the handle off. It's a bit discoloured, and they're put it down on the bench and say, could you please bring, it means so much to me, could you please return it to its former glory? But anyway, probably not, but in my mind, the fantasy is such. So get in touch with us right now, 086 60 25000, WhatsApp and text your name, where you're from, and the number you want us to contact you on to come on and have a bit of fun and play our quiz. So the lines are going to be open just for a minute, so get in there quickly, will you, whilst we finalise our runners and riders. Okay, should we do some comments now before the bingo numbers? Stay where you are. Regarding the Leaving Cert, I watched a young girl attend her granny's funeral this week at 12 noon, having done an Irish exam that morning and no doubt had another one in the PM. The poor girl was in her school uniform. Surely something needs to be done. These kids' future are being decided on a three-hour exam, regardless as to how they may be feeling. I really hope this young girl gets the results she needs. Fingers crossed. I know they say history is written by the victors, but in all honesty, it is a very, very important subject. How can people know what happened in the past, see the pattern repeated through the ages, know how other cultures and people lived, created, destroyed? History is vital to show humans our success or failures of the past. But if children are not also taught how to think, research, read, then they will miss out on so much and just become uninterested and bland. Yeah, good points. The Leaving Cert needs to change, believes this listener. Should be educating children with life skills and giving more apprenticeships for options to leave secondary school at 16 after 3 years. And any that want to go to university should have to sit an entrance exam to the particular university. The Leaving Cert is a points race and teaches children absolutely nothing leaving school. Maybe like it's a memory test, is it? Most forget all that they've learned in secondary school the minute the leaving is over. I'd love to see things like the driver theory test being part of the mandatory as part of the junior cert cycle, or even as part of transition year, though not every student takes transition year. Things like that, I would love to see that. I do think, in fairness to this government, they have made good inroads in terms of alternatives to university. You know, there are an awful lot of courses and they're front and centre on the landing page, you know, of the options that you can do. So I think they have made good inroads in providing other opportunities other than third level, i.e. university, IT or whatever it might be. So there has been some progress there, I believe. Good morning, Greg. If they all did proper studying, they wouldn't have been caught out, as they say. Are we supposed to give them the questions now that they will be getting in the exams before they take the exams? That's what it seems it's like, and that's dumbing down people down. I think, in fairness, though, this is like giving people, training people how to make a cake, right? And spending many years teaching them how to make a cake, the ingredients, the constituencies, the weights of the products and what goes into it, and then asking them at exam time to make a vindaloo curry. Do you know what I mean? I just really think that's the questions and the way they were phrased. That's how far out it is. Another caller says, do away with the Leaving Cert. Continuous assessment is the way to go. Yeah, indeed, there seems to be a bit of consensus there. There is concern that AI will make continued assessment of projects, essays and assignments more difficult and making a terminal exam even more important in the future. There is that, and I've expressed for a long time now my concerns over AI, and I'd really actually think that that's what's going to drive change in how we educate our children. Hi, on the topic of children and phones, we just have to realise that that's how it's going to be. I'm 60 years old and I've heard every generation picking faults of the generation behind them. Like my parents said, we were so different from their youth, and I did the same with my children, and now my children are saying the same thing to theirs. Just take a look at the 60s, all generations will work it out, and they will be sitting giving out about the ones after them. Wise words, and I think, you know, maybe you are right. Good morning, Greg. When we have people in power with influence and so-called experts who can't say what a woman is, what hope have the youth of today? What people can say what a woman is? I know that's a sort of a gotcha question, because there's a couple of answers. The answer that someone who asks that question that they want you to say is that it's a person born, you know, with ovaries, and that's a woman. And, you know, until, you know, relatively recent, that was it. But then what they don't want to say, and this is where the gotcha sort of it is that it's someone who may have been born with male genitalia and now identifies as a woman. And that's what, where the capture is, right? It's really quite simple. It just depends on whether you view someone who was born a male and then transitions to female or what have you. It's whether or not you believe or define that as a woman. It's not that complicated a question. It just comes down to whether you believe only people born with, you know, the chromosomes and the genitalia of a woman are women. That's the definition of a woman. But if you also believe that someone born as a male with the male chromosomes and what have you, that if they at some point can feel that they were born in the wrong body and identify as a woman, if you believe that that's the case, well, then that also is the definition of a woman. It's not like, I don't really see it as that complicated as a question, but it is a question that people seem to answer, struggle to answer. But that's what it comes down to. Do you define the second category of people I described as a woman? There needs to be more beneficial subjects or topics taught in secondary school to help in everyday life. More basic cooking classes, how to read your payslips, taxes, proper banking, etc. These would be so important and prepare us for everyday life. It's so true. Like, I mean, I was asked a question by one of the lads, about a mortgage. And I thought, oh my, I failed here. I haven't explained the basics. An honours list, are you kidding me? Don't you think enough of our roads and parks are named after enough politicians? There is never a fair naming process. If it's not a politician, it's people they are giving a nod and wink to in their cohort of business dealings. I personally don't mind that. Honestly, I don't mind. I think naming car parks, you know, parks or roundabouts, I don't have an issue personally with that. But sort of some sort of a hierarchy, I don't know. Aaron talking a load of bull about Fine Gael. The report passed their sell-by date. He should cop himself on backing Leo, the leak, as they've described. Okay, listen, some great comments coming in. Thanks so much. We appreciate them all. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more in the 9 till noon show shortly. Right, Pat Leahy is the political editor of the Irish Times. He joins us on the programme now. Hiya, Pat. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Right, digging further into the latest Irish Times opinion polls, and it really is giving us a sense of what the general public want from politicians. Let's first start, though, just with the headline stuff that we saw a little earlier in the week. A drop in support for Fine Gael and Sinn Féin as Fianna Fáil and the Social Democrats emerge as winners in the latest poll. What's your reading of that, Pat?
I think it's interesting, you know, and there's been a lot of chat recently about unrest in Fine Gael and questions about Leo Varadkar's leadership. And I think, you know, that this poll will certainly, it's not going to quieten those mutterings of discontent about Leo Varadkar's leadership. He was down by 6 points in his personal rating, the party down to 18%, down by 4 points since our last poll in February. And just to put a bit of context on that, that's Fine Gael at 18%. They haven't been lower than that since 1994, which, I don't know, I mean, several political lifetimes ago. So it really is kind of rock bottom for Fine Gael. And I think the worrying thing for the party is that this is kind of the opposite to what is expected when Leo Varadkar went back into the Taoiseach's office last December. It expected that, you know, Leo Varadkar would be able to use the Taoiseach's office to increase his profile, to promote the party and that. And instead, what has happened is he has gone down. Micheál Martin and Fianna Fáil have gone up. And that has got to be worrying for them. I suppose, you know, the only consolation for Fine Gael is that we see this fall off in support for Sinn Féin as well. And we had noticed before that the party was beginning to plateau a little bit around the mid-30s. In yesterday's numbers, they came down by 4 points to 31. So a little bit of concern, I would say, in Sinn Féin about that, although we should always emphasise, I suppose, that they are out in front by some distance and on course to be the biggest party in the next door.
Whatever, you know, Leo Varadkar can do, the party itself, though, does it have a bit of an identity crisis in that they went big on saying that, you know, we want to cut taxes, you know, for the hardworking families out there struggling, a party of, you know, tax cuts they might want to frame themselves at. But that's not what the public want. And I was really interested to see that come out in this poll, because that's the mood that comes through on shows like this, Pat, that people want to see an investment in services, maybe, you know, more generous allowances or earning capacity for the likes of SUSI grants and stuff, everyday things rather than, you know, 10, 20, 25 euro in the pocket every week. So what can Fine Gael, do you think, going to stick with their policies, their attitudes, their public messaging, or will they have to look at a poll like this and say, right, you know, can they pivot away from their current policy and sort of find themselves more relevant to the public?
I think it's interesting that you say that, because I know that your show and others like it is very much an example of kind of Ireland talking to itself in the morning. And you know, what you say is very much borne out by the numbers in this poll, that the preference is for investment in public services, both in terms of day-to-day services, but also in public infrastructure that the country needs, not least because it has an expanding population and therefore the state itself, the apparatus of the state needs to get bigger. I think in reality, you know, what will happen in this budget and in the next budget is that, you know, the government will do all of these things. You know, it will invest in public services. There will be some tax cuts. But I think what Fine Gael has done in recent weeks, it has tried to put its branding on those expected tax cuts to come and make them as substantial as possible. Now, look, I don't think that putting money back in people's pockets will exactly be unpopular, but I think you are onto something there when you talk about Fine Gael kind of being just on the wrong side of the public with regard to this. And that is certainly borne out in today's number. I think it is a political problem for them, because if the overwhelming desire for people is for investment in public services, and of course, let's not forget, it's much harder for a government to make public services work better than it is for them to just cut taxes. Cutting taxes is just, you know, it's a line in the finance bill, it's an adjustment by the revenue, and it turns up in your pay slip every week. Yeah. But improving public services is a daily commitment and involves management right from the top to the bottom. And it's much, much harder.
Yeah.
And, you know, I suppose, you know, if people are realizing this, but Fine Gael is talking a different game, then I do see the political problems mounting up for Fine Gael.
They do. And what surprises me, Pat, is and this is not anti-Fine Gael, this is just like maybe even some free advice, is that you might come out big and sort of say that we're going to put a certain amount of money in people's pockets and all that, and it's not even costed, and you've got your coalition parties sort of pointing that out. But then in between that and the next poll, there's an interest rate increase that would wipe it out for anyone. You know, when the public know that now, you know, the public see that, they go, well, what you've just announced, that last quarter percentage interest rate, even a bank passes it on, gobbles up that full year of relief, of tax relief that you were going to give us in one foul swoop. And I just, I'm surprised that they don't see that. Do you know what I mean? That they're setting themselves up to fall for the very reasons I've just outlined.
Yeah, and one thing that is clear in the poll data as well is, you know, the continuing squeeze that people are feeling in the cost of living. And, you know, more than half of all people say that, you know, cost increases in the cost of living is making it much more difficult for them to manage financially. But where they are identifying the difficulties in the cost of living is in, just as you say, in mortgage payments that are going up all the time, but also in, you know, in the cost of their weekly shop, and in the cost of, you know, things like back to school and all that people will be facing in a couple of weeks. And those are things that the government can do something about, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them addressed in the budget.
Exactly, Pat. And finally, just to get your view on this, for me at the moment, politically, what it feels like is, you know, just ahead of the Grand National, where all the horses are sort of, you know, rotating and there are their favourites and the money's going on certain horses and all that type of stuff. But I mean, the tape's going to lift really as we edge closer to the election, isn't it? Because it's not just the questions from journalists, but also for the questions from the public as they realise they have a decision to make or whether they'll vote at all. You know, we're going to have to start seeing the colour of people's monies. The questions for the likes of Sinn Féin are going to be more pointed, like, well, how are you going to do that? Do you know what I mean? Like, we had Mary Lou McDonald up in Donegal recently at a chamber conference, and she was talking everything the business people wanted to hear, but also what the whispers around the table were and people I was chatting to was their taxation policy and what that could actually mean for companies that can leave Ireland really quite handy. Do you know what I mean? If you start taxing higher earners, that has a consequence. So as we get to the tape up start part of the process, Pat, I think we might see different pictures in different places, mightn't we?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's a good analogy about the about the Grand National. And of course, to extend the analogy further, you know, you could be the favourite going into the Grand National, but something can happen in the course of the race and that knocks you off. And I think that's the thing to bear in mind always about the polls, is that they will tell us the position at the beginning of the race, who's stronger, who's weaker. But once the race begins, you know, the 3 or 4 week election campaign, things change. Campaigns matter. And, you know, no doubt you see it in the callers that you get every morning there, that, you know, there's a lot of votes up for grabs. In the old days, you know, in the not too distant past, people, you know, Fianna Fáil could be assured of 40%, Fine Gael could be assured of nearly 30%. That was most of the votes taken care of. The rest of them were scattered around. Maybe Labour was assured of 10%. You know, now that day is gone. Our politics has changed so much, and it's much more competitive as in between the parties in that scramble for votes. And I think what all the parties are doing now is trying to kind of lay down, you know, try to lay down positions with the public that they will come back to in the course of that campaign. But, you know, unfortunately for people like me doing the job that I do, the whole thing has become an awful lot less predictable, a lot more volatile. But that's just the political times we live in.
And who's to say, Pat, you could end up being Beecher's Brook for one party or other. Pat, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Take care.
My pleasure.
All right, bye-bye. Pat Leahy, political editor of the Irish Times. And as I say, in any of that analysis, it's not a criticism or an indictment necessarily of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, or whichever party, independents or whatever. It's just kind of a reality of the way the system works. We really haven't got into the nitty-gritty of, I think, you know, people start and say, right, now it's time for me to truly sit down and see which way would I vote, what could be the ramifications. And, as I say, it's most likely that that will mean people go, well, you know what, it's time to, let's try Sinn Féin in there to see what they can achieve. And they might go and surpass that 30-31% to a great extent. I don't think it's a fait accompli that the current incumbents would go up or Sinn Féin would go down or vice versa. What I'm saying is that it's all to play for at this point. Right, okay, I'm going to take a very quick break. Stay with us. We'll be joined by Alana in just a moment. Okay, we are back with Alana now. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate your time this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Right, okay. You're speaking really on behalf of yourself, but on behalf of your father as well. And it's an experience in hospital. Talk to us in your own words, Alana, about the situation.
Well, the coursework is, it's busy, as you know, up in American High Hospital, but on Wednesday evening, my dad went out for fresh air, as he's been in over the last 16 weeks. And as he went up the footpath, thinking it was all flat the whole way round, he met cars. And he realised that he couldn't get past, so he went to turn. But as he turned, his wheel of his wheelchair went off the edge, and him and the wheelchair tipped over, and he fell out, and he badly grazed his elbow and everything. But they had to get an ambulance to lift him up onto a stretcher and then through A&E just in case there's any other injuries. But it is a disgrace at the end of the day where nobody with wheelchairs or pushchairs or anybody who has a disability of some sort can't get around cars. They have to come off the footpath to go around cars and they could end up getting hit by a car or somebody not seeing them if they fell off. It's just hard for anybody to be on a footpath.
No, that's an awful stressful situation for him and all of you as well to hear of that. Is it a particular area that there is a problem, Alana? This was outside the grounds of the hospital, was it?
It was outside casualty.
Outside casualty, okay, right, I get you. And cars parked up on the footpath?
Yeah, both sides.
Wow, okay. And you're just saying, you know, have a little bit of consideration, have some thoughts for other people and what they might be experiencing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
All right, okay. Listen, well, it's short and sweet, but it's to the point and it's important. And hopefully your dad's okay now, Alana, and thankfully there was no further injury, but he did have a badly grazed elbow. And also, it's the indignity of having to have people to come and help him up when he was getting out for a bit of fresh air to him. You know yourself. I know how I would feel, Alana, and maybe he might feel the same. It's not nice.
It is not, no.
Yeah, okay. Listen, well done. Thanks very much for speaking to us, Alana. So as I say, there's an example of what inconsiderate parking, the impact it can have on people. The majority of sensible people do not struggle to know what defines a woman, Greg. We've no problem in identifying a mental health issue. It's time to stop the nonsense and face the facts. But you can't get inside somebody else's head and tell them what to think. That's like sort of saying, we all know who God is. You know, anyone believing... Now, I'm not saying believing that is equivalent to that. What I'm trying to say is if people have a belief system and they genuinely believe it, you can't just sort of completely disregard them. What's that going to achieve? The two people with different views have to speak to each other and come up with some sort of a commonality there? I don't know. I got A-levels, but I did not know how to live in reality and communicate with others. Yeah, okay. I'd love a bit more information on that. Talk to me a little bit more. Send a longer message in and explain that in a bit more detail. Schools don't even teach our kids Irish history. It's all about the German, French and English. So what are they learning about their own history? Yeah, and I just wonder sometimes if we're a little bit afraid to talk about our own history. We should look at how our senators are elected. Voters confined to a selection of people. Unelected TDs appointed by government Taoiseach. How unjust is that? It is, we were going to get rid of the Shannon at one point, and then people voted to keep it. You know, like that, the Shannon was up for grabs, and the majority of Irish people voted to keep it. I'm not sure if reform was part of that vote. I'd have to check it out, but you know, you get what you vote for and what you decide. Quiz time coming up very shortly, by the way. All very exciting. It's the last one of the day, last one of the week. Please wish the Queen of Doncaster, Jean Moore, a very happy birthday from the Kelly family up the road. Thank you, Queen Jean. That sounds good, doesn't it? It's like almost as good as my Captain Greg suggestion earlier on. Morning, can we please wish Joe and Mary, Margaret Crawford in Convoy, a very happy 50th wedding anniversary from all their family. We'll be going to Oisín Kelly too at some point during the morning. Oisín Kelly's out and about with Seamus McGettigan. And Seamus McGettigan won the rally, or did really well. Sorry, I'm laughing because Niamh's just joining us and she hates coming in to see me, I think. Seamus McGettigan, our own Seamus McGettigan, won the rally 40 years ago. And last year, he and some other veterans of the rally took part in part of the rally up around Atlantic Drive, and they were very successful in Atlantic Drive. And 40 years, it was 39 years, 39 years later, did Atlantic Drive again. And I said to Seamus yesterday, I said, did you enjoy it? And he said, I would like to have gone around again. So it never leaves you. And Seamus is down with Oisín, and we'll be crossing over to them with the rally down in the south of the county a little later on in the programme, I believe, if there's any action to report. The government don't care what people want. She's right. Most people in Donegal are counting their pennies. Okay, yeah, you see, that's the reality. Right, Niamh. Hiya.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good. Can we talk to about how much you enjoy coming in here?
Honestly, I'm so sad it's the last day of the competition.
Oh, did you not know we're doing this next week as well?
Oh great!
No, I wish we were, but we aren't. Yeah. Okay, Niamh is with us just to do a little bit of timing if we need be. Okay, Rosaline Connolly in Letterkenny. Hi, Rosaline. Oh, Rosaline.
Morning, Greg, or Captain Greg.
Oh, serious, this is beautiful. Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. I feel so important now. Who needs a GU or a sir? I'm Captain Greg. Come here, how are you keeping,
Captain Rosaline? Greg.
How are you enjoying?
I'm keeping good.
Good stuff. All right, okay. You've enjoyed the good weather?
I am loving the good weather. I was working in the office all week. I'm working from home today, but I'm on my tea break now, so that's how I'm able to do the competition today.
Super, and it's great to have you on board. Do you want to say where you work? Are they listening or say hello, or do you want to not? It's up to you.
It's the Child Benefit Office down the street you're working.
Brilliant. Well done. Excellent. Yeah. Lovely. Hard workers down there. Appreciate your time. Sandra Arthur is in St. Johnston. Hiya, Sandra.
Hi, Greg.
How are you keeping?
Not too bad. Good.
All right. Very good. Good, good. How's life with you, Sandra? Have you enjoyed the good weather?
Fantastic weather.
I know, it's been lovely. I know it's going to rain this weekend. But anyway, let's stay positive because one of you is going to win a mug and the second prize is a €100 one for all voucher. Right, so now the way the quiz works is I'm going to play a clip and whichever of you wishes to play, just shout play. If you think, right, I know what that is, I know what the question might be, I want in on the first question. Then I'll ask the question and whoever answers the question quickest wins. Now, the second question will be the person that opts not to play the first one. Okay, so I'm going to play it now and I'll tell you what you might do. Rather than say play, could you say your name, either Rosaline or Sandra, and then I'll know which one of you says is in for it first. So here is the first clip. If you want to play with Virgin Media, shout your name if you want to get in on this question.
Sandra.
Rosaline.
Sandra's in first. Yes, okay. That worked okay. Are you ready with the...
Yeah.
Okay, right. But you don't have headphones on, so you won't know who's...
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, but once I pull them... Okay,
oh,
that's fine.
Okay.
Get me all right. Okay, so the question is... I'll play it one more time to set it up, because I... what I'm supposed to do. Stay alive. Okay, Sandra, the question is, this song's from which film?
Saturday Night Fever.
Right, okay. It's exciting. Well done. How long?
2.96.
2.9 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, right, okay. So that's Sandra in at 2.9 seconds. Rosaline, your question. I'll play the clip here and then I'll get to the question. I'm not clicking it. Here we go. Okay, Rosaline, the question is, that song's from what film?
Titanic.
Oh, I think that's quicker than 2.9 seconds.
1.5.
You are the winner, Rosaline. You have €100 one for all voucher. Congratulations.
Thank you, Captain Greg.
Yeah! Yes, and that was the Titanic. There is a captain on the Titanic. It's all worked out beautifully. Well done, Rosalind. I won't keep you. I know you have to get back to work. Sandra, I'm sorry. You were so close. You got the right answer, but we're going to get you a 9 till noon mug out to you. Thanks so much for being a good sport and playing with us. I really appreciate it.
No bother.
All right,
okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. We delay in those lines. And also, Niamh, thank you very much indeed for your excellent work today. And the good thing today is we actually had two correct answers and we had to time both of them.
Brilliant.
Excellent. And I got to sing a little bit, but I also was dancing and forgot that I'm on camera.
Yes.
All right. So anyway, listen, thanks very much, Niamh. Niamh Shields there, part of the 9 till noon show team. Rightio. Good fun. Appreciate that. And thanks to Virgin Media Broadband for making it all possible. It's now available in Donegal with full fibre broadband, so everyone can enjoy ultra-fast speeds of up to 2 gig, 99% reliability. Check out virginmedia.ie to see if you can avail of the new 2 gig full fibre broadband speed. Virgin Media, and with them all week, it was Playtime Radio. Are we going to Oshin before 11? Do we know? No, there's just nothing, no action to report yet. It's very exciting down there. South Donegal. Oh, 20 past 11. Okay, that's great. Listen, that's all right, Caroline. I wish people could hear your voice like I can because it sounds like I'm speaking to myself. Maybe should we try and make that happen technically? No. Because it's great to see the rally return to the south of the county. There's a huge following down there, as you would all know. They've set up the service area, I believe, on the old road into Donegal Town, you know, where Donegal Waste is there, which is great. It's between the two roundabouts. It's between the Tullyor roundabout and Abbott's, and it's all set out with cones and it looks great. And there's some great roads that they're on from Ballyshannon through to Rosnaula. And then they hop over the new road, as it's still called, even though it's been there for 125 years. And then there's a great route from Ballantra, I think, cross onto the Pettigo Road and then out towards Barnesmore. Out the old Lahey Road, would it be? Not old Lahey Road, out Lahey Barway, I wonder. Is that the route? Anyway, Oisin's going to be joining us a little later on in the programme to discuss that. But I do have to take a very short break and we'll be back with more very shortly. Now, the demand for sex trafficking is evidently growing, with more victims presenting themselves to Ruhama in 2022, according to the charity's CEO. The organisation, which helps women who are sexually exploited for profit, engaged with 147 victims of trafficking in 2022, 45 of whom were new referrals, which is a 60% increase on new referrals in 2021. Now, Danielle McLaughlin is Policy and Comms Officer with Ruhama and joins us now. Good morning, Danielle. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg.
So I suppose just so we all have a proper understanding, when we talk about sex trafficking, who are often the victims, who are often the traffickers, and how does someone being sex trafficked affect them, or what is their life, you know, once they have been?
Yeah, I mean, that's a complex question and a loaded one that would take a while to answer, but briefly, trafficking for the purpose of sexual exploitation is a hidden pandemic. It is happening everywhere, every day in every town, village and city across the country, and it's very hidden. Victims of trafficking are often the women that we would meet, and the majority of victims are women, would be coming from marginalised and disadvantaged backgrounds, many from different countries, Africa, Brazil, Eastern Europe. But we in fact meet women from 56 different nationalities last year. And so 88% of the service users engaging with Ruhama are from migrant background. We worked with 45 new referrals of victims of trafficking last year, which was a 60% increase from last year, from the year before. And to answer the next part of your question, who are the traffickers? That's a very difficult one to answer, but they're very hidden, and they're operating mostly online, and they're using technology to advertise women on websites, and they're using technology for payments, for hiding and moving women around the country. And we've only had one conviction in the country, so unfortunately we're not doing so well compared to other countries in terms of tackling human trafficking, and we're seeing far too many victims.
So is it possible then a person from, let's just say, for an example, an Eastern European country might be promised something in Ireland or a future, and on arrival they could have their passport taken from them, maybe threatened and forced to work as a sex worker? Would that be kind of the type of scenario that happens?
It can be a typical and common scenario. There are many routes into trafficking. Often it's coercion. It can be threats against an individual's family members or children. It can be, yes, like that woman offered a job abroad because they're struggling to make ends meet in their home country, mm-hmm. and there are no opportunities. And others can be sold by a partner, a husband, forced into marriage, and trafficked into different countries before they arrived to Ireland. So they may have then escaped to Ireland, or they may have been smuggled into Ireland and moved around the country, forced into prostitution. So there are quite a few different ways and means, but the common thread is often that women are in a vulnerable position to be taken advantage of, and vulnerable to sexual exploitation.
Mm-hmm. And as we have numbers of those that you have engaged with, it must be, and sorry to use this typical phrase, the tip of the iceberg, because for all the reasons that have been outlined for what they might be experiencing here or what they might face if they end up having to go home, in inverted commas, very difficult for them to come forward. One can only just imagine what it must be like to be trapped or threatened or under pressure in a foreign country, but also the same people that could be exercising that threat and control might feel they present a threat if you had to return to your own country. So it's a very favourable to the traffickers and very unfortunate for those that are the victims.
It is, and threats, violence are often used to keep women under control. As you say, it's very hard to, it's difficult to ascertain the true number of people who are trafficked in Ireland. And if the current system that helps to form and identify victims of trafficking isn't working, we know that it's being reformed. We're waiting for it to come through in legislation. And the reformed, it's called the National Referral Mechanism, will allow for victims to be formally identified through other statutory organisations and civil society organisations rather than just through the Gardaí, because that can be a very intimidating ask for victims of trafficking who may have had so many traumatising experiences and may not be comfortable going to the police, given their perhaps experience with police in their home country.
Yeah, and finally, people buying sex are fueling this. They're feeding it.
It is. It's down to the demand. I mean, we're seeing this amount of individuals coming to our service. We know, as you say, it's the tip of the iceberg. There are many are still hidden. So what is driving this demand is the culture to feel that it is acceptable to buy sex, but it is, in fact, illegal. It's illegal to purchase sex, and the women who are forced into it are women who are in prostitution, are no longer criminalised since 2017. So the objective and the work that's going on at the moment is to target pimps, traffickers and buyers.
Okay. All right. Danielle, thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it. Danielle McLaughlin, Policy and Comms Officer with Ruhama there. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 07491 25000 is how you give us a call. Now, coming up in the next hour, Michael and Fionnuala are going to be with us, which is fantastic. We'll be having a chit chat with them. We're going to have an update from the rally. Oisin Kelly will be joining us. Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather is joining us, I believe. Yes, hopefully it's a definite maybe, because I don't see anyone predicting the weather past Tuesday. We're going to have sort of showers and sunshine up until Tuesday. No one's really saying what's happening after that, but there is some talk, right, of high pressure returning from the 23rd, 24th of June. That's what the models are showing, I'm told. But we'll see if Alan's free to come on just before 12 and give us a little bit of a rundown on that. So that's all to look forward to over the next hour. Get involved. We want to hear what you've been watching, how you've been entertaining yourself, and all that. With me, Michael and Fionnuala, after the news.